Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience. Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man. You got a question for RLM? Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
You know what? I think I'm going to have to log out and log back in, everybody. Hold on. Don't go anywhere. I'm coming back. I'm coming back. Don't go anywhere. Woo-wee. Thank you for sticking with me. Thank you so much for sticking with me. Oh, geez, Louise, it's so interesting how these technical difficulties happen right before the show. Not all the time. Hold on a second. Hold on, dear, my dear audience. My dear audience. Yay.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Spirituality.
It's a new experience.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Spirituality.
Oh, now we get real.
Getting real.
Are you the best audience on the planet or what? Thank you, my dear audience, for hanging in there with me. Wow. Well, I had to play the song again. I love that song. You know, my son wrote that song. I had to play the song again just to kind of get into the vibe. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sticking with me, my dear audience. So let's start the show. Welcome to Reality Spirituality, and that's what happens. Real life issues, and how do we navigate through all of the ups and downs through life and still keep our happiness and still be at peace? How do we do that? Well, Reality Spirituality, well, this show shares how. And it is possible to have this peaceful vibration throughout life storms. Let me just introduce myself. How rude of me. I'm Rebecca Lynn Norrington, global happiness specialist, and I'm adding another title, inner peace practitioner. You heard me, inner peace practitioner. Woo, that's a lot to say. Global happiness specialist and inner peace practitioner. And what I want to share is happiness is a practice skill. And when I say that, that means anybody, any single person, all we need to know is what to practice. All we need to know is what to practice, what to eliminate. That's it. And when you practice, guess what? You will be able to zoom, zip, navigate through this life at peace also. It's really not about what happens to us. It's how we respond, what we are rooted in, whether we live on the surface of the ocean or whether we live deep at the bottom. The challenge becomes, it really is the person in the mirror. The challenge, all you know, your your power comes from you. Your power comes from that person in the mirror. You have all the control. You can decide. It's not about anybody doing anything to you, saying anything to you. It's not about anything external. None of it. And today, oh my goodness, I love this topic. Why? Because it's the title of the book that I'm finishing up. Yes, finally, after all these years, after all these years, that the book, Program for Unhappiness, the book that I'm writing, is going to be published. It's going to be published before the end of the year. And I'm really tuned into that vibe, that flow. I don't know where it's been. You know, I always talk about there's nothing that I should do or there's nothing that you should do, only what you're inspired to do. And I totally get both sides of that. I totally understand that action does need to be taken. But there's something about, and I'm just speaking for myself, there's something about being inspired, and when I'm inspired, I mean I can sit and write for hours and hours and hours and days and days and days, and for some reason, for the last month, I've been inspired. And so I know, I can feel that the book, Program for Unhappiness, is going to get finished. It is going to be published. And I'm saying that it's going to be, woo, very controversial. It's going to be controversial. It's going to be contentious. It's going to be disagreeable. It's going to be timely, and it's also going to be the truth. I cannot wait for this to be finished, for it to be completed. Only because, and it's really not about how many people are going to read it. It's about I needed to get this out and on paper. One of the things, let me get back to this happiness. You know, when I ask people if they want to be happy, 10 out of 10 people raise their hand. Yeah, we always can use some more happiness. Yeah, let's throw that in. But what happens is, like any other skill, when I say happiness is a skill, like any other skill, it requires practice. It requires daily practice, moment by moment practice. And so that's when we know whether or not you're committed or whether or not you're prioritizing or whether or not you even value happiness. And when I say happiness, I'm really talking about a vibration and energy. You can feel that there is a big difference between when you're feeling connected, when you're feeling flowing, when you're feeling grateful. You know that vibration. You look around, you're in awe, you find beauty in just looking at a chair. you know that place. Well, what I'm sharing is that the practice, happiness is a practice skill. The practice allows for more moments to feel like that, more moments of connection, more moments of calm, more moments of balance, more moments of walking or going through this life with your shoulders down. Doesn't matter what happens. So let me define happiness, especially for my new listeners. The show has been gaining traction. I don't even know how. I'm not doing any marketing. People are finding me organically. Let me define happiness. Happiness is defined, I define happiness as the ability to be at peace regardless of what happens and regardless of what doesn't happen. Regardless of the news you get, regardless of what, or the news you don't get. Happiness is an inside job. We already know that. We've already said that. But what do you value? Now, that's a question that only you can answer, because everybody values different things. It's interesting what we value. And what you value, you are going to move towards. Focus on. could be millions of followers, could be, you know what, I heard about leaving legacies, and I totally get that legacy thing. I get it. And I was having a conversation with my best friend, and we're talking about legacy, and I said, is that really leaving a legacy? Is that really a thing? And he says, yeah, that's a thing that's been programmed and supported by the ego. I said, well, what do you mean? That's a good thing, right? You're helping other people, serving other people. And he says, this is all up for debate. This is a brand new thought, new idea. Don't shoot the messenger. I'm just sharing what he shared with me. And this is another programming. That legacy, wanting to leave a legacy, is another programming because, quite frankly, let me leave that for another day. Let me leave that topic for another day. I'm still digesting what he told me, and I'm still because I had this whole idea about my legacy is going to be teaching people how to experience more happiness. Yeah, that's my legacy. And now I have to sit back and rethink that, because what if this whole notion, idea of a legacy is just a program, and it is authored by the ego. Now, the reason why I do the show is to put a spotlight on the ego and make sure that I know the difference between my ego and my universal, my ego voice and my universal voice. And I'm not really feeling that legacy thing anymore. I don't know. I get it. I mean, I talk to a lot of people, have talked to a lot of people. A lot of people have taken my classes, the Truth About Happiness classes. I get it. I get it all. But I'm gonna leave a legacy. How about just being really humble all the way down? And I'm just doing what I do, doing what I'm inspired to do. And whatever happens from that, whatever happens because of that, is just what happens. See, I'm not going to get into that ego trap of, listen, there's no judgment or there's no poo-pooing about anybody else who is into leaving a legacy. Scratch all that. There is absolutely no judgment about anybody that feels that way. I'm just saying, for me, I can recognize for me what feels like something that my ego says, and my ego is all programmed, and what the universal message is going to be or is. Let me talk about the topic today. The topic is Program for Unhappiness. Yes, it's the title of my book that's going to be out before the end of the year. However, the Program for the Unhappiness is real. Program for Unhappiness is real. Program, what does that mean? That means when you were born, you had zero programs. The only fears that we are born with are, let's see if I remember, the fear of falling and the fear of loud noises. Other than that, all the other fears have been programmed in, have been programmed in, dialed in. You know that none of us were born worrying or having judgments or living in the past or living in the future. We certainly didn't give power to words. We certainly didn't think anything was serious or important. So when I'm talking about the baby that just happened to be born, when I say Program for Unhappiness, it is all about the programming. Because unless you're born with it, you are programmed. Let me get a little bit deeper with that. When I talk about practice, you know, if you listen, you know I'm a sports fan. I'm not going to watch every game, but I do enjoy the playoffs. I do enjoy watching the championships. I do enjoy that. I have to say it's getting less and less enjoyable as it's just I don't even need a story. It's just getting less and less enjoyable. How's that? And that's the other thing. Making a statement or making a decision, there doesn't really have to be a story to it because I could put any story on it. I could spin any story. When I talk about having a perspective, there's 360 degrees in a circle. And so I say that there's 360 degrees of perspective you can add if you practice coming up with a new perspective. You can come up with a new perspective, 360 ways to look at the same issue, to look at the same circumstance, to look at the same problem. So when I say, telling a story behind it, there isn't just one story. There could be hundreds of stories. So I tend to stay away from a story only because the stories are not necessarily true. The stories are coming from where? Who authors the stories? So I'm very, very suspect of any story. So I'll just tell you what I'm doing without the story. Back to the practice. When I say happiness is a practice skill, I don't even know if I left it, but I'm going back to it. Happiness is a practice skill. So watching basketball, this is where I left off, watching basketball, even if you are not a sports fan, you've heard of, well, maybe you haven't heard of him because if you're not a sports fan, you maybe haven't heard of him, but there is a basketball player called Steph Curry, and there's another one called Damian Lillard. Now, these two dudes are really, really, really good at shooting three-point shots. I mean, Steph Curry has changed the whole game of basketball with his prolific three-point shooting ability. These guys are so good. They can hit a three-pointer probably from the other side of the basket. But regardless, when I say how good they are, they're both of them. You know, there's debate. You know, everyone's comparing. Well, he's better than this one. Listen, doesn't matter. They're great, but they didn't become the greatest three-point shooters in all of basketball, in all of NBA history, without practicing. So what they do, it looks easy for us. It could be easy for them now because of all the practice. I mean, the thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of practice. And it's the same with happiness. It's the same with inner peace. It is a practice. And you're either down with practicing, you are either wanting to practice or not. I was listening to a small speech by the Dalai Lama this week. It was on YouTube. And in more than one video, you see him talking about happiness and how he believes that happiness is the ultimate purpose, the ultimate goal. What else is there? One of the questions is that was asked of him is, why are rich people so unhappy? When I talk about happiness, let me get to the topic because I could get off, I could start going down this happiness thing for a long time. When I talk about happiness, I'm talking about practicing a skill. And in 1983, listen, I'm finally getting to the topic. In 1983, a young man by the name of Ted Rionis. Let's see, Rionis. How do you pronounce his name? Oh my goodness, I should have. Leonsis. Anyway, it's spelled L-E-O-N-S-I-S, Leonsis. I'm going to have to figure out how to pronounce his name. I have to go back and look and see how to pronounce his name. I don't like to. I like to pronounce people's names correctly. Leonsis, spelled L-E-O-N-S-I-S. Anywho, this young man, who was very successful at the time, I think he was a millionaire, multimillionaire. He was in a plane, I believe it was a small plane, and the pilot gets on. You can Google it. The pilot gets on the intercom and says, "Brace for impact." In other words, whatever we're going through, this is not good. Possible crash. You could die within a half hour. It was the big announcement on the plane. We're going to crash. I can't even imagine. And one of the things that Ted starts talking about is what he did. And he said he started praying. I mean, you can read about it on online. And he started praying. And he said that if he makes it through, and he's praying to God, universe, or whoever he was praying to, source, higher power, spirit, whoever he was praying to, he said, "If I survive this plane crash, I am going to live differently. I am going to turn my life around and live in a different way." I mean, I don't know about you, but there's not a lot of people that I could talk to or know that have lived close to death, that have been told from 1 minute. Now, I'm not talking about you're sick and you're going to be told you. I'm talking about right in the moment, you're going to die. I mean, I can't even imagine news like that. And the effect it would have on someone. And we're all so different. See, we're all so different. Who knew? It would be fascinating to find out what people in those circumstances felt like and what they did. Well, Ted talks about what he did. So when he did survive, the plane didn't crash, he didn't die, he came up with what we all heard, and this I believe he was the one that popularized it. I'm not sure, but I'm believing that it is, because this was way back in the day, 1983, and he came up with the bucket list, or he came up with writing a list. I don't know if it was called the bucket list then, but writing a list. And he made a list of 101 things he wanted to do in his life. 101, just because he was minutes ago, seconds ago, hours ago, met with possibly dying. And the interesting thing, and this is going to be in the book, Program for Unhappiness, and the interesting thing about this list, I have this list in front of me, is that, I don't even want to say it. I wonder if you know what I'm going to say, my dear audience. I read the list, and I haven't read it all the way through twice, but I glanced over it, and then I went back over the list to look for something. I'm looking for something. Can anybody find out what I'm looking for? Can anybody figure out what I'm looking for in this list of 101 items on this bucket list? 101 things to do before I die. What I was looking for, was something on this list that was connected to, had an affiliate with, some type of link to happiness or inner peace. And I couldn't find it. Some of it, fall in love, get married, have a healthy son, have a healthy daughter. Well, so what? You're going to tell, take care of mother and father, take care of in-laws. I get all of it. And, yes, very nice, very noble, yes. Leave trust for family members. Have grandchildren. Now, that's really interesting, this have grandchildren. Oh, it says number seven, have grandchildren and have great-grandchildren. So what is, I'm just going to throw this out. This is nothing personal. But having grandchildren and having great-grandchildren has nothing to do with you. And so that means you're going to put an obligation and a pressure on children, your children, to procreate. I'm just throwing it out there. And that's the programming. Grow up, get married, have children, make sure your children have grandchildren. Make sure their children have great-grandchildren. See, the program for unhappiness, the programming is in here. Now, and this is just an example, because I've listened to Ted talk on YouTube, and he's a really, you could feel his heart, really good guy. You could feel his heart. You could feel it. He's a billionaire now, and his heart is, you could feel his heart is what I'm saying. I can't come up with anything other than that. And the other, it's just so interesting though. The other things financially, let me just throw in here what he on the list. Net worth of 10 million, net worth of a million, net worth of a billion. Well, see, all of these have happened, but none of them adds to happiness. None of these activities add to happiness. And the other interesting thing about Ted Leonsis, I'm going to say Leonsis, hopefully that's the way to pronounce it, is that he wrote a book about the business of happiness. Because one of the conclusions that he came up with is just because you're successful doesn't mean that you're happy. I mean, we all know that. And just because you're happy doesn't mean you're going to be, well, let's scratch that. Because what is success anyway? How do we define success? Is success defined by how much money you have in your bank account? How many people you can help? How do you define success? Is it defined how do you define success universally? How's that? How do you define success in a universal way? The question really is, how are you going to feel on your deathbed? That's really the question. What are you going to feel? Are you going to have any regrets? What is your vibration going to be? So let's just get back to the list. Because it's funny, one of the things that Ted said was that he was not happy and he felt unfulfilled. He wrote that. He's been interviewed a lot, and he said he felt unfulfilled. Well, none of these things, $10 million, $1 million, $1 billion, is going to be fulfilling. Start a company and sell it. I mean, I get the fulfillment, the satisfaction for a moment, and that's the thing. The satisfaction, the vibration for a moment, but then what happens in the next moment? Okay, so you have $100 million. Listen, it'd be great to have $100 million, but don't think that $100 million is going to make me feel a certain way. It's not going to add to any of my inner peace. It's not going to add to any of my happiness. It's just not. It doesn't have the ingredients to. The other things, let's see, own a beach home, own a jet, own a convertible, own a Ferrari, own a restaurant, a club, antique, give $1 million to Georgetown University. Okay, give $1 million. I get it. Giving to someone else, I get it. I've given money away and to people that, wow, thank you. I mean, hundreds and hundreds, yes. Probably thousands by now. But not, I haven't given away $1 million. I don't have $1 million to give away yet. Oh, I'm saying all that, and I said that tongue-in-cheek. I'm saying all that to say that There's nothing about, I'm trying to think. I remember one time, and I'm just sharing a story. I remember I took out $300. You know, you can only take out $300 from the ATM. I took out $300, and this was years ago, and I was downtown L.A., and I was driving down this one street with a lot of homeless. I just stopped my car, and I just gave it all out. Now, I'm not saying that to, oh, God, what a great, none of that. But what I'm telling you is that there was a vibration, a sense of satisfaction in that moment. And I could go back and say, wow, yeah, that felt nice. But the happiness and the inner peace I'm talking about doesn't come and go. Come and go. The inner peace, the happiness I'm talking about gets rooted in, gets into your bloodstream. So much so, it becomes your inner peace becomes you. You are inner peace. If somebody was describing you, they would say, peaceful, happy. And I use those words interchangeably. What? I can switch both words. Let me. So I get it. Giving away, yes. Giving to charity, yes. I totally get it. I'm talking about, listen, talking about sustaining. And I'm going to throw this in. If for every reason you are not feeling good about self, or you're not feeling content or at peace, helping someone else or coming to someone else's aid or doing and giving and serving someone else that can't, whether it's volunteer work, whatever it is, yes, that is satisfying. Yes, I get it. But what I'm talking about here, the practice, the happiness is a practice, feels even more than that. You will feel that sense of satisfaction, but you will feel it all the time. It doesn't just come and go when you do things or you share or you give. You will feel that vibration all the time. Let me go back to some of the other things on the list. I mean, I get it. Listen, go to a Super Bowl. Go to an NBA All-Star game. Go to Ryder Cup, World Cup, Celebrity Golf. Go to a Fantasy Camp. Shoot baskets at Madison Square Garden. Go one-on-one with Michael Jordan. I get all of this stuff. Go to Italy. Go to Paris. Go to London. Be on the cover of a magazine. Produce a TV show. Meet Ted Turner. Meet Bill Gates. Well, win a Grammy, Oscar, Tony Award. All of those things. You win an award. How long is that satisfaction, is that happiness going to last? So the problem with these bucket lists, scratch that, there's no problem with the bucket list. But the interesting thing about these bucket lists is attaining all of these things, it doesn't add to your happiness. It just keeps you busy thinking that meeting Bill Gates is going to add to your fulfillment. The fulfillment comes from, you know what the fulfillment comes from? Closely monitoring yourself and your growth. Closely being self-aware in every moment, being conscious in every moment. And acting consciously. Making conscious decisions. Practicing the behaviors that add to happiness and eliminating the behaviors that subtract from happiness. What are the behaviors that add to happiness? Simple, acceptance of self, acceptance of others, living consciously, being okay with uncertainty, trusting, letting go of the illusion of control, choosing your perspective, choosing your focus, having patience, self-awareness, witnessing moments instead of personalizing moments, telling yourself the truth, staying out of everybody else's business. You know, it's really interesting. This having grandchildren is on the list, having grandchildren and great-grandchildren. I mean, what if his kids don't want to have children? See, the programming is so deep that even the list is programmed, because it's a great list of activities, great list. But there's nothing on this list that is going to integrate, add to, be responsible for your inner peace. I'm looking. I'm trying to find something. Take a year sabbatical. Or maybe that'll, yeah, take a year sabbatical. Depends on what you do. I love it. Go to Italy, go to Hawaii, go to Africa, go to London, go to the Caribbean. Yeah, I could do that, but none of that's going to make me happy. I used to think that traveling to places that nobody goes, I mean, this is back in the 80s. I'm going to Switzerland to ski. Where? And then I had to go to someplace else to ski, and then I had to go someplace else. Well, I was going, the funny thing was, I was going looking for happiness. This trip is going to happen. I'm going to find happiness here. Happiness is not found in anything external. Happiness is not found in anything that you busy yourself doing. Now, let me be more specific, though, because let me scratch that. Because if you are in a vibe, and if you are, say you are, okay, this is live. I'm trying to, if you are, how about this? Say you see somebody drowning and you jump in the ocean and you save them, and now you have really been responsible for saving someone's life. I'm trying to come up with another example, saving someone's life, and the satisfaction, the purpose. There is something about that whole activity, satisfaction, purpose, destiny, all of that wrapped up into that. I'm just trying to think if. So it's separate. The programming, see, there's no programming involved in that. There's no programming in, that's all organic, how you're feeling in the moment. I mean, I can't even imagine. But that's nothing you put on a list. I'm going to have to digest this one. One thing I do know is that all of these things about owning, buying, having enough money, getting a company, selling a company, leave financial trust, yes, I can get the peace of mind. I can have, okay, the trust, making sure the trust is that peace of mind. I got that. I can get that. But equating any of this stuff to peace, inner peace and or happiness, there's nothing here that is going to add to happiness. Zero personal debt for family. I get it, the sense of satisfaction, accomplishment, but I'm talking about, because what if you didn't get to do any of these things? What if there was debt on the family? What if you didn't have grandchildren? What if you didn't travel here? Then what? Would you be able to find inner peace? Would you be able to be happy? Go to the White House, meet the president. That's another thing on the list. Invent a board game. Go in outer space. Produce a TV show. Those are all programmed what I want to do. I get it. And I'm going to have to say, and that's why, for me, personally, and I've just gone off, and I know I'm going off on the tangent, but for me personally, I'm going to have to say there is nothing on my list that isn't consciously going to add to my happiness, which is humbling the ego, committing to practicing, surrendering to the moment, knowing the role of the ego plays, knowing myself, acceptance of myself, living consciously. I said that already. Those are practices that are going to add to your inner peace. The appreciation of life, a daily practice of eliminating behaviors that subtract from happiness, staying out of everybody's business. One of the studies, and I've said it before, I've talked about it before, her name is Bronnie Ware, B-R-O-N-N-I-E, Ware, and she was a hospice nurse. All of her patients, the patients that she took care of, were dying within a month, 2 months, and she asked the patients, her patients, what are your five most common regrets? So these are the five most common regrets of the dying, and one of them is, I wish I was happier. I wish I would have allowed myself, given myself wanting. I wish I had experienced more happiness. And with all of that said, the program for unhappiness, the program is so deep, we don't even know where the program begins and where the program ends and the truth begins. Oh, one of the things that let me just share this before the show ends. One of the things that I was listening to someone and they were talking about difficult people. Oh, this is such a good point. Anyway, I wish I would have said it earlier in the show, but anyway, difficult people and how, oh. Now, if you want to speak with me live, just press the number 1. I have a few people in the queue. The number to call into the show is going to be ending. But anyway, if you want to speak with me, just press the number 1. I'll see it, and then I will connect you to be able to speak. But anyway, let me get back to, difficult people. So someone of prominence was talking about difficult people and working with difficult people. And I immediately thought to myself, well, there's no such thing. No such thing as a difficult person. Is there, audience? And I'm not talking about people that are on drugs or people that need meds or people that are in the psych ward or people that forget their meds. I'm not talking about those people, the people that are in facilities. No, I'm talking about average, normal people on the street that you meet. I'm not talking about people with mental challenges, mental capacity challenges. Are people difficult? Is it possible that there are no difficult people? I'm going to say yes. And the reason why, when I go back to Steph Curry and Damian Lillard, the reason why is that the practice, when you grow, when you practice growing every single day, when you practice being aware, when you practice expanding, growing your consciousness, when that becomes a goal, an intention for you, an agenda for you to grow, there will be no difficult people, because an ant does not, an elephant is not concerned with an ant or a flea. There are no difficult people. The bigger you grow, the less difficult people become. That's my point. Okay. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality Radio, The Truth About Happiness, heard every Sunday at 9 a.m. Visit my website at RebeccaNorrington.com. Follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington. LinkedIn, Instagram handle is Reality Spirituality. I have a few videos on YouTube, but that's a work in progress. And my first book, Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, can be purchased on Amazon.com. My second book, Program for Unhappiness, is going to be out before the end of the year. And until next week, my dear audience, I want you to remember, you are a physical extension of the universe. You're always evolving. You're always changing and you're always growing. Love is patient and love is kind. Be patient and be kind to yourself. Be your own best friend. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. It is about the journey. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality with yours truly, global happiness specialist and inner peace practitioner, Rebecca Lynn Norrington. Have a conscious week, and remember, happiness is a practice skill. Your experience in every moment is going to reflect what you practice.
Yeah,
always
yeah,
time to
get
real.
Oh, yeah. Reality Spirituality.
It's a new experience.
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Reality Spirituality.
Question for
RLM.
Get real good.
Get real good.
Now,
get
what I'm about to
get real.